I'm not an extremist in anything. As AI takes over the world, like what are we left with? A glass of wine seems to be like an out-breath. There's more that has to be done. When you don't sleep at night, it's a very painful experience. They feel like they lose control. They're gonna scream more on their children, let them scream. It's part of the human experience. Being silent for 10 minutes seems impossible. You can't do this and worry at the same time. This human machine is actually incredible.
Welcome to Lead On Purpose. I'm James Lachlan, former 7-time world champion musician and now executive coach to global leaders and high performers. In every episode, I bring you an inspiring leader or expert to help you lead your life and business on purpose. Thanks for taking the time to connect today and investing in yourself. Enjoy the show. If you are struggling to manage your time, you're struggling to get better sleep, you're struggling to deal with anxiety and overwhelm, this is the episode for you. Today, I sit down with the amazing best-selling author of The Life-Changing Power of Sophrology, Dominique Antiglio. We go deep into what sophrology is and why in Europe, mainland Europe, this has been around for many, many decades. Yet now and only now, it's starting to become a thing in the Western world, in the UK, North America, and now here in New Zealand, Australia as well. You're in for an absolute treat. Sit back and enjoy the show. Dominique, a huge welcome to the Lead on Purpose podcast.
Thank you, James. I'm super happy to be here.
I'm so excited you're here because there is a craze, a trend that's taking over the Western world, and that is sophrology. You are, in my opinion, the world's global expert, and many others would agree with this, on sophrology. So what is sophrology?
So it's quite natural that a lot of you haven't come across sophrology yet, because it's something that it's a self-development practice, and you can classify it in a meditative practice, and it's all originates from continental Europe. So it's a really famous practice in France, in Switzerland, in Belgium, in Spain, that helps people to manage their stress, to sleep better, to build their confidence, to perform. You know, a lot of sports people, high achievers, are using it to support them in their daily life by harmonizing the mind and body, and using the mind-body connection to empower them in their daily life. So sophrology is a practice. So it's something you do in your daily life for perhaps 10 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day. And you close your eyes and you're guided through a series of relaxation, breathing, visualization and movement exercises. And it's the combination of those that makes sophrology so unique and so powerful to help people in their daily life.
Incredible. And look, I think back to my earlier life when I was a young drummer performing at the World Championships and often getting up on a stage. And for months leading into that, I'd been visualizing that. And when I got to the stage, the visualization helped. However, I hadn't been doing the other practices such as breath work to manage the stress, the cortisol. And so that really impacted my performance. So I started to explore how the breath can help. But in fact, that was 20 something years ago. And it was very difficult to actually find practices that I could embody and embrace. So with sophrology, how long has that been around for?
So I love the fact you said you hadn't prepared more on the body side, because I think that's the beauty of sophrology, is that it combines mind and body. So the mind for visualization and body, how can my body support my mind, or how my body can support my emotions? Yeah. So sophrology started in the 1960s. It started in the medical world in Spain by a neurologist and psychiatrist called Alfonso Caicedo, Professor Alfonso Caicedo, which I was really lucky to train with. He started this method originally to help his patient who were in a psychiatric ward, often with serious mental issues. And he wanted to look into gentler method or method that could help these people on a daily basis to deal with the disease they were suffering from. And at the time, his wife was practicing yoga already, so he got really interested in the Eastern practices, and he decided, as a young psychiatrist, having all the Western knowledge of the mind and psychiatry and neurology, to explore how these method of meditation, sound work, asanas in yogas, and all the Zen and Buddhist practices could help consciousness, and could how could you positively influence consciousness through these methods? And so his whole life research has been around that, and how do you draw on these practices and adapt them for the fast-paced world we live in? And how do you blend these traditional ancestral practice with modern science so that you can get the best of both worlds, really, yeah?
That's stunning. And it's interesting you talk about that, because often when I'm delivering a keynote, or if I'm working with a high-performance, say, a senior leadership team, and I start to talk about these practices that have really helped me through breath work, meditation, journaling, sometimes I get the eye roll. And yes. James, enough of the soft stuff. Just tell us what to do to make more money or to be more successful. And I always pause and say, yeah, but the soft stuff is the hard stuff. If you could actually take the time to get into the softs of it, it's going to be difficult and challenging. There's going to be so many self obstacles. But when you get in there and start to do the work, actually all of the outer world, all of these things you're trying to achieve, become more effortless, seamless, enjoyable, meaningful. So those individuals that usually say enough of the soft stuff, what they want is the data. They want the science. And when I'm able to say, here's the proof, they're like, okay, cool, we'll give it a try. So with sophrology, what are some of the studies or research pieces that have been done around when you embrace sophrology, here's the outcome that it can actually happen at a scientific and a neurology level?
Yeah, I totally agree. These are important questions, especially in the world of today, where you have a lot of fads around and a lot of things that, you know, could be potentially dangerous. So I think it's always a valuable thing to do, is to be critical. So I agree that, like, sophrology, basically it's a blend of modalities. So if you think about mental imagery, if you think about relaxation, breathing, movement, and all the studies that have been done in that space to understand the link between breathing and the nervous system, or the link between meditative practices and how they influence the structure of your brain or the function of your brain. So all this work that has been done, and of course, there's more needed in mindfulness, in sophrology, in breathing. I mean, we haven't come to the bottom of all these studies yet. Yeah, there's more that has to be done, but there is good indication that a lot of these practices can have an impact on the nervous system, on our mood, on our sleep, and that's where the scientific aspect of sophrology can ground itself. There's also a growing body of science of sophrology itself, from especially in France and Spain. There's a current study, bigger study at the moment, that is starting in France that also looks promising. There is a need for more, definitely, but you know, I think it has shown result on stress, on depression. There's a body of science and sophrology on asthma and chronic pain. So, you know, this sophrology has been reimbursed by the Swiss health insurance since the 90s. So, you know, it's been around, it's been used in sleep clinics alongside more traditional approach of sleep or insomnia. It's often recommended by people who help you prepare for birth. So it can be your midwife or your obstetrician that will send French ladies to sophrologists to get ready for birth. And all the athletes aspect we've talked about, there's like famous athletes in continental Europe that have been known to use sophrology, or even the French rugby team who's had a sophrologist with them. So yeah, there is a need for more science, but I think we've seen the result of sophrology working for people, and me as a therapist, this is what I witness continuously in my practice through my platform, that it's a tool to help people feel more empowered in their daily life. Yeah, and it's true that soft skills are often not at the center of the conversation, but I think with the world, how the world is progressing and changing, maybe those soft skills will be more and more valued and at the center of the conversation. Yeah, as AI takes over the world, like what are we left with, with ourselves, yeah. Right? So I think this will become more and more, in my opinion, necessary to work with, because we need to know ourselves and to be creative and to be inspired and to be ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And in your work as a therapist, what are some of the most common challenges or problems that you see your patients walking in with in terms of what's going on in their lives and in the world right now?
I think a lot of people that I have seen and continue to see is a sense of overwhelming, you know, being overwhelmed by the amount of information we consume each day, being overwhelmed by a difficult experience they are going through, maybe something related with their health, a separation, a change of continent, redundancy, a loss, or simply not being able to sleep at night and having their mind completely wired and not knowing where to start to find some sort of calm in the madness. And I think, you know, most of us can probably relate to that, because it's part of the human experience.
As you might be aware, recently we made the decision to remove all adverts and promotions from the podcast. Why? Well, your listening experience is my priority. So we decided to remove them all, and in return, I've got a very small favor to ask of you. If you enjoy the podcast and the incredible guests that we bring on, can you please follow and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify? Please also leave me a rating and review. The reason this is so important is the more ratings, reviews, and followers I get, the more the show is promoted to other incredible people like you who really get lots of value from the show. So please do that. And also, massive ask, please share this with 3 other people in your life. Share the show with them directly. Copy and paste the link. Tell them you've got to listen to Lead on Purpose. I hope that it impacts their lives, and it really helps me to grow the show. So I really appreciate it, and let's get back to the show. Absolutely. And if we often will get to a point where, let's say, we have a major disease or a tumor shows up, or we're fully burnt out and, you know, highly depressed. So then we go and look for help. But actually, it sounds like sophrology can help there, but it can also help at the start and prevent you from actually reaching those points of autoimmune disease and burnout. So where's the first step for the person that wants to step into sophrology? Like my advice, first of all, will be there's a link in the show notes to Amazon where they can get The Life-Changing Power of Sophrology, your best-selling book. But after that point, what can they do to start on that journey?
I think you have to start where it feels comfortable, because I think self-development and looking after yourself shouldn't be another chore or another obligation in your life. Yeah. So some people like to start sophrology lying down because they are so tired and exhausted and can't face another activity, for example. So therefore you could start with a simple body scan and some breathing and visualization for 5 minutes before bed. Some people hate sitting quietly. I've had a lot of clients who are very busy people, full of adrenaline, full of anxiety as well, and they're high performers, and the idea of closing their eyes, crossing their legs and just being silent for 10 minutes seems impossible. And I agree with that. When you're very active, maybe you start by using movement and sophrology. You can practice it lying down, sitting or standing, and the standing aspect gives you some very simple movement that you can do whilst your eyes are closed or open, and you combine those movement with the breath, you combine them with the sense of relaxation, even if you're standing, or with a specific goal. And I think what is attractive to sophrology is often you learn to meditate or you learn to connect with yourself, but towards a specific goal. And I think that's why it's so successful, is that, most of us have something they would like to work on. And I think starting with where it feels useful will eventually lead you to more awareness in every aspect of your life. And doesn't matter if you want to start working on your sleep or on your confidence or on your positivity or on a project you have, or you want to raise your energy level, or you want to diminish your anxiety. I think, you will connect with yourself, and at the end of the day, through this experience, you will learn to manage a lot of other things as well.
100%. And for those high performers that you've had come through and work with you personally, but also, in the greater world of sophrology, so that the athletes, the top CEOs, Arianna Huffington, these people that are real top performers, what do they generally start with in terms of, hey, here's my problem, whether it's time, anxiety, performance pressure? What's one of the most common things that people come to sophrology to try and solve?
I think a lot of them start with sleep, because I think as long as you can carry on sleeping in your life, there's still a lot of hope and possibilities in terms you've got the energy to change things, to be creative, but I think the minute you start to lose your sleep, and that's where people start to really notice, oh my God, there's something that is impacting me here. And when you don't sleep at night, it's a very painful experience, because then one night of difficulty brings another one, and then your mind starts to wander and you start to worry about things more, and your energy decreases, and then it's hard to get out of it. So I think sleep has been one of the main, trigger for asking help in many of my clients. Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, I'm talking to more and more experts around sleep and how vital it is. Now, sometimes with high performers and people who are leaders, you will hear them say, oh, I only need 4 hours of sleep. I've got so much to do. And it's like almost like a badge of honor. And yeah, I just shake my head and think they're in for a rude awakening at some point. So in your opinion and your professional experience, what's the consequence of chronic bad sleep?
I mean, the science says it, you will have an influence on your cardiovascular system, you will have influence on your cortisol, therefore on your weight. There's also like you'll have influence on your metabolism, sugar, so inflammation. So we know scientifically that lack of sleep long term has a detrimental influence on your health. I think they And me, what I see in this is really about your mental health and how you feel in your daily life. And I think people who don't sleep generally feel more negative, feel more worried, and just for they feel like they lose control over their life. And I think that sense of losing control is very damaging, because then everything becomes difficult. They're gonna scream more on their children, or they're gonna start to snap on their partner, or they're gonna it's gonna have an influence in the family, in the workplace, and it's a hard, or they're gonna go for alcohol. You know, a lot in London, there's a lot of culture on alcohol and work, and de-stressing with a glass of wine. It's an extremely popular thing. I notice here, coming from Switzerland, I notice culturally, you know, like a glass of wine seems to be like an out breath, you know, like, you know, when you do like, and you sit down in your sofa and you say, oh, finally, I finished my day. And the glass of wine seems to be this signal that now you're done. And I think I've got nothing against a glass of wine. And, you know, I'm not an extremist in anything, but I think that there needs to be awareness around that, because when you can't sleep, when you're anxious, then it can lead to addiction and trying to fill the gap with things that are not going to be good for you long term. Yeah. So awareness around that, I think, is important. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's interesting with sleep. I've recently started wearing the Aura ring to try and get a little bit of like a bit of a marker as to where my sleep sits and where I need to improve. So for me, selfishly, I'm going to ask you, how can I start to improve my quality and depth of sleep using sophrology?
Yeah, I think, you know, in sophrology, we say we prepare our night throughout the day. Because I think most people don't realize how deeply connected to what you experience during the day sleep is. So if you've been on adrenaline all day, haven't had a minute to process any of or just acknowledge any of the emotion you've been through, maybe you've been angry, stressed, fearful, anxious for many different reasons at many different time of the day, and it can be like a low grade even. You know, you don't need to be like totally out of control. And these things over time and added to maybe a certain lifestyle or pressure or trauma, they start to weigh on your sleep and on your nervous system. And at some point the nervous system just loses its natural rhythm. You start to be a bit out of rhythm with your circadian rhythm as well. And things starts to be hard. And suddenly you say, oh, I don't understand why I don't fall asleep. And often they think it's something happening in the moment, but it's a buildup. So if you want to start to influence your sleep, of course, I would always recommend you check your, you know, physiologically, you go and check and say hi to your GP, get a little check and know if you, for example, are lacking certain supplements. Maybe you have a lack of magnesium, or you have a lack of iron or vitamin D deficiency or something. So always start with the physiology, check with your doctor. And then when you're all clear on that front and you can take your supplements or take whatever he recommends, then you can start working with behavior and how you feel and self-development. And I think it can be as simple as twice a day taking 2 minutes to just checking, how do I feel now? Like maybe bringing a hand on your abdomen, a hand on your chest, taking a second to close your eyes, just take an in-breath, an out-breath, and ask yourself, how do I truly feel now? And how does my body feel right now? And you might notice that your shoulders are all hunched up, that you're actually not breathing because you're waiting for that next call. Or you might realize that you are saturated in front of your computer and your body needs to move. Or you are very thirsty and you have forgotten to actually drink the whole day. So those really basic connection that we can't do because life goes so fast and because screens are take all the space and worry take all the space. So going back to the body and asking yourself these very simple questions, although it seems weird to close your eyes at your office, I mean, try once and see what comes up. And it might be uncomfortable because it might be all about, oh my God, I don't want to connect now because the anxiety is too high, or the worry or the tension in my shoulder is too painful. So I'd rather just carry on. But if you take that moment to just do that pause and just take an in-breath and an out-breath and realize what's going on, over time you will be able to implement those simple exercises of sophrology and do more and maybe dive for 10 minutes in an audio practice in the evening, and then you learn there's nothing to succeed at with sophology. There's nothing that can go wrong. There's nothing to achieve. It's a continuous learning of tools, and the more you learn and the more you repeat, the more impactful it becomes, the more awareness it brings, and the more transformation you will notice. And I've seen like wonderful transformation as in myself first, practicing from an early age, but then also in my client. And awareness is freedom. You know, awareness is freedom, and if you've got a bit more awareness of how you feel, then you have more control. So,
and when you started, Dominic, you talked about you've been doing it from early childhood. What started you on this journey of sophrology?
So I was a 15-year-old, a student. I was living in Switzerland, and I was a fan of basketball. So I wanted to become Michael Jordan when I was 15. And so I didn't like school. And all I wanted to do is to train. And after a while, I suddenly feel that my body was kind of letting me down. I was starting to feel super tired for no apparent reason. And then over the months, I started to faint. So I had this fainting episode on the way to school, in the bus, you know, sometimes just talking to someone, I was feeling lightheaded and saying, oh my God, I think I'm going to faint. I was fainting. So it was really disturbing and really worrying for me. And then I also had this small infection, like sinusitis and things that were popping. Then my GP was giving me antibiotics, and then three weeks after was something else, and it was a never ending story. So I saw my GP, they did all sorts of tests. They said I had really low blood pressure, which they think is better than a high blood pressure anyway. So they said, you know, we're not sure. Honestly, we're not sure what's going on with you. We can't see anything really wrong with you, but you're clearly struggling. So why don't you go and see a sophrologist? So because I wanted to go back training, not being from an alternative therapy or complementary background, like this was totally unknown for my family, I decided to give it a go. And I went to the other side of town and I met this amazing sophrologist who then became my mentor for many, many years, and who taught me those simple exercises. She recorded on a tape at the time, a tape recorder, and she sat me down, listened to me, and then said, you know, maybe your body is trying to tell you something, and maybe you should maybe listen. What is happening in your body that you're fainting like this? Yeah. So with those simple breathing, simple relaxation, with standing work, moving my body, being guided to listen, I felt a tremendous relief in learning to listen to myself and my sensation. I think I had never been able to connect with myself in that way. And suddenly I realized, gosh, I can feel more in control of my breath. I can decide which thought I'm going for now, or I can decide how I'm going to show up tomorrow at school, even if I don't like my teacher and I feel bullied by this teacher. I can start to take control over this overwhelming world I felt I was living in at the time, with so much pressure and not a lot of, you know, place to be, basically. I think I was so under pressure, and I realized my body was just shutting down to try to, in an attempt to stop me. Otherwise, I would probably be really sick. Yeah. So over five weeks of doing that work with this amazing practitioner, I completely recovered. No more fainting, no more tiredness, no more. But an intense awareness of a new world. Like at 15, she helped me open like a new dimension of life, like truly. And so that was so life changing that I said, okay, gosh, I want to know more. So every time I was feeling something or I was uncomfortable, like, you know, then you learn about boyfriends, you have to choose what career you're going to have. Like, there's so many questions when you're at that age. Yeah. And she became this person where I could just go and explain. So I'm not sure about this. How can I do? Okay, let's practice. And she was always giving me the power of these decisions and saying, you know what you have to do, just connect and let's connect and see. And then I was like, all right, yeah, I know now. Okay, I'm gonna, you know, and it became like a self-development journey that was so powerful and so deep and so empowering for me. So
that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I know there'll be a listener listening right now going, wow, you're describing me. Like, I feel overwhelmed. I feel burnt out. I might feel faint. So it's really helpful for that individual. And it's interesting. You and I have a mutual friend in Mo Goddard, and he and I were chatting about AI. And as AI rapidly increases in the planet, there's one thing that's going to become really important and really relevant. And he says, look, yes, some people might lose jobs. Yes, the world might change, but the one thing that's going to become just gold is human connection.
Yeah.
That starts with connecting with self, because we don't know how to connect with others until we truly know how to connect with ourselves. So to me, it almost sounds like sophrology is the key, or at least one of the keys to connecting with ourselves.
Totally. And I think, you know, I couldn't agree more. And I think there's so many theoretical things that we can read if you start self-development, how to be present in, how to be in the present moment, how to be mindful, how to have clarity, how, like, all these amazing theories that we read and we want, but then how do you do this? Like, it's amazing to want to be in the present moment, feel more connected, but it all sounds pretty fluffy to me if there is no tool because then it's disempowering, because you would like to be in the present moment and being able to connect, but then what does that mean and where do I start? And I think the power of sophrology is that it's simple and it's accessible. Anybody can do it. Like if I was a 15-year-old and I could do it and find something in it, it must be simple. Yeah. Because at 15, I didn't want to explain my entire life to this new person in front of me. So, you know, that means it's accessible. And I think this accessibility, the simplicity, and then the fact it's a gradual journey, like if you want more, there is more, and it gives you a stress management tool, but also a tool for deep exploration of who you are, what your value system is, what is it that you want to project in your future, you know, what is the mind-body connection, but all into an experience. It's not something that you are going to find out mentally or read about. It becomes an experience. The present moment becomes something you experience and you feel inside you and you feel around you. The mind-body connection becomes something that you feel and you use in your daily life. And all this concept of calming the mind, you know, okay, if I do this, I know I'm calming my mind. I'm using my breath and I can feel my mind getting calmer. So it's really tangible and it's a learning. It's like playing the piano. It's not magical. It's something you're going to practice 5 minutes a day and you're going to be good at, and it's going to be so useful. Yeah.
I think that's so important to talk about the tools. You know, I was reading an amazing book recently on distraction and lack of focus. And I mean, the research in it was mind-blowing and really got me to think about what am I doing with the social media and my phone. And but I was waiting at the end of the book for the tools on what do I do to be less distracted, but there weren't really any. I was a bit disappointed. I wanted the tools. And I think that as a modern day human, we want to know how to self-improve and reach personal mastery. And you talk about presence. My biggest fear is getting to like 60 or 70 and looking back at my son, who's now an adult at that stage, and going, wow, I missed so much because I wasn't present. So if someone could say to me, James, right now we can enhance your presence in life. So the magic moments that unfold at breakfast, on the car journey to school, you know, those magic moments you can be present for, I would be a hell yes, count me in. So I'm going to ask you, are there three tools that somebody could embrace today? Three simple tools from Sophrology that the listener could go and try?
Okay. For presence, you mean, yeah?
For presence and to reduce anxiety, reduce the busy mind.
I agree. You know, I actually have a similar fear because I have a similar age child than you have from listening to your previous podcast. And, you know, you get one chance one day at a time. Yeah. And for me, it's very important that aspect as well, like make the most of the moment. Yeah. And I think what is in the way of being enjoying life, you know, not only being present, but enjoying the moment and making the most or living the moment. If it's painful, you acknowledge and you embrace it and you stay with it. It's, I think for me, it's about stopping the mind and connecting to the body. That would be my first go-to thing, because I think what is in the way is often the fear or the mind or some belief. So to just let all these things aside and not feed them anymore, the best way is to disengage with all of that for a moment and engage somewhere else. And this somewhere else can be your body. So a movement combined with a breath, we have a very easy one, for example, which is called a shoulder pump. So you can do it mainly standing or sitting, and you clench your fists, you bring your arm alongside your body, then you take an in-breath, you hold your breath for a little moment, and then you shake your shoulders up and down, like really activating all your upper body, and when you need to exhale, you release, and you release the tension and the movement, and you pause. And when you're going to do that, the first thing you're going to feel is the movement, is your heart pounding, is a bit of heat, or it's a discomfort in your shoulder if you're very tense. But there's something you are going to connect there, and you can't do this and worry at the same time. You cannot do this and, you know, not be present. Like, being aware of sensation is learning to be present. And it's a tangible learning because you're looking for sensation. Mm. So I think whenever you feel you're out of sync with the present moment, or you're too much in your emotions, or you have fear or anxiety, going back to the body is a really good thing. You could also, for people who feel very disconnected, they could also jump on the spot for like, you know, 10 seconds or more if you physically fit, and then you close your eyes and you can't miss the sensation there. You're going to feel a lot of sensation. And if you then pause and become the observer of the sensation without judgment, without thinking, oh, I have this pain in my shoulder, it's because I had an accident in the car and that I've never managed to do this, and all these stories we do when we listen to the body, you try to just suspend that for a moment and just behave like if it's the first time you've landed in your body, like you're jumping, stopping, listening, and being here for the first time. What do you feel? And every day is going to be different, but the experience of that will teach you to become the non-judgmental observer of something. And then as you dive deeper in the practice of sophrology and you repeat, you'll be able to disengage with a lot of things much more easily because you've trained it with your body. So then it becomes possible to disengage with someone's rage when they're here, or to, you know, when you say being present with your child, how many times my son has expressed anger and people usually say, but how come you stay so calm? Why are you not reacting? How do you manage? And I think it's because I've practiced sophrology. I just give him the space because it feels uncomfortable and annoying sometimes for me to witness other people's emotion because I'm a human being, but I'm able to stay with this frustration or this, you know, moment where I'd like things to be different. I know how to disengage and just to pause and stay with that and observe it and say, okay, let's go through this. And I know there's something after that. Like, I'm not going to be stuck in this moment forever. Like, I just have to step back and give the space. And then all the time, my child just go back to normal after this, and then often he will say, oh, sorry, mommy, I think I was a bit very loud, or maybe, you know, and I was like, it's fine, yeah. And they self-regulate because you give them the space, and you learn through your own experience in your body first, yeah.
That's beautiful. And I want to think about your son for a second, and I want to also, in the same tone, I want to think about a dictator, someone who's running a country and telling people what to do and invading and creating wars, right? If that person who's creating all this war and making poor decisions as a leader and hurting people as an adult, if we went back to when they were your son's age and we started to introduce them to practices like sophrology, do you think that would make a big difference in their ability to see the world from a different perspective and to be more calm and less reactive?
I strongly believe that we can change the world by changing individual. I mean, this is my line of work. You know, there's probably many other ways, but like if you create more awareness into people's life, body, mind, then I think naturally you will start to relate to others in a very different way. I think it's a natural progression. I don't think you even need to teach how to interact with others. I think it's kind of obvious that the positive repercussion of that will arise. Perhaps not in everybody, perhaps some have deeply, you know, I don't know, but some people seem to be able to be more resilient and transform more than others. And I think there is, I don't know why. And I think it is, there's a probably a mystery around that, that it's, you know, that we can't influence. But I, of course, I mean, what you've been exposed with in the first 7 years of your life is, to me, it's incredibly, it's the programming, it's the initial programming, and it's hard to unprogram, you know, if you've received those traumas and you haven't had this emotional space, the disconnection, and, you know, I've been there. That's why I think I was so disconnected at 15, and I didn't go through, you know, like, massive trauma like some other people I've heard have been, but I think it doesn't take a lot to break the connection with yourself as a child. I think a child is naturally connected, and I think if you're not careful, it's easy to disconnect them from themselves by asking them like too many things, too many activities, to not let some freedom into this life of childhood, or to let them be, like, let them scream, you know, initially when they're very small, that's the language of the children. They scream, they jump, they they do all these things that we adults feel are perhaps annoying or inappropriate, but you know, I think that's how the nervous system and the brain are wired, and we need to learn more about this to understand them and to have an appropriate response, an age appropriate response and a nervous system appropriate response as adults. And I think it takes awareness, but it takes knowledge as well, and understanding who these little people are and that they're very different than adults in terms of their functioning. Yeah,
massively. And you used, throughout our conversation, you've used the word breath a lot, and specifically in breath and out breath. So for the listener that's going, ooh, like there's something to the breath work that really can impact my mind and my body, what's the science behind in breath and out breath? When we're breathing in, my understanding is that's the sympathetic nervous system is triggered. Breathing out's parasympathetic, where we're in a more relaxed state.
Yes.
So does that mean every in breath, just for a moment, triggers the cortisol or the part that the sympathetic nervous system?
Yeah.
And every out breath, so that's happening thousands of times
constantly.
A day.
Constantly. I mean, this human machine is actually incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. And you know, I used to be an osteopath before, so I used to, you know, work on people's body and mind, but with my hands, and feel what's going on in the body. And I mean, it's such an incredible machine. And I think if we learn to respect it and to listen to it and to influence it through our breath, through relaxation, through our thoughts, through movement, we can gain an enormous empowerment and enormous control on how we feel. And it's not that difficult. I think there's a reason why it's quite simple, actually. You know, we don't need something complicated to be powerful. I think it's quite simple. Yeah,
that's what I love about sophrology. The more I learn about it, it is simple. And I feel like anything that's complex, Dominique, I tend to shy away. I'll do it tomorrow. I just don't have the time. But when something's really simple, I'm like, cool, let's do it right now. If it takes 2 minutes, let's just jump in and try it. It sounds like sophrology is not this mathematical equation and something we've got to do for years to understand. We can understand it right away, but actually it's a practice that we will implement. As you said, it could be 2 minutes a day. It could be 10 minutes a day. So the individual that's listening right now can start today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in the show notes a link to your site, where I see that there are actually audio accompaniments to the book that they can engage with, which is really powerful. I'm also going to remind the listener that this book is truly life-changing. And what you've got in terms of feedback and testimonials, it says a lot. It speaks volumes. So I'm going to encourage the listener or the viewer right now, grab a copy and jump into it. But just a few last questions before we do wrap up. Is there one message you've got for people out there that are skeptical about the mind-body connection? They're like, there's no connection. Have you got a message for them?
You know, I think what sophrology has taught me is to try to not always find answer through the rational and scientific aspect of things. And I know that's not a very popular way to talk at the moment, because the entire world is looking for science evidence in everything, which I agree we have to do. But I think that over the years, there's a treasure inside us that has no explanation, or that doesn't need an explanation. And there is something inside us that's beyond studies or beyond analyzing every aspect mentally of our life. There's something magic in just using our consciousness and being in touch with our body, our mind, our emotion in a less judgmental way. And once you start to practice sophrology and do those practices, and then you realize they do impact on how you see life quite rapidly, you You start to perhaps notice things that you didn't notice before in your life. And it's almost like the path starts to unfold, but it's not an analytical path. We, in sophrology, we talk about phenomenology. That's one of the philosophy and the human science that sophrology is based on. And it's about seeing life for what it is and without judgment, and just trying to embrace whatever arises. And it's funny that there's great power in that, actually. And sometimes trying to solve your sleep through a rational thing, like I should take supplement, or I should, it's because when I was a child, like this happened. Yes, it's all valid, and I'm not going against that. It's all is complementary. But sometimes closing your eyes and giving yourself those 10 minutes, you'll be surprised where you end up. And you maybe end up in a new territory that you don't know exists. And I think that's the beauty of practicing with your eyes closed and connecting with yourself. And it's a little bit beyond any rationalization, and that you can only experience yourself. Nobody can do it for you, or nobody can I can teach you the tools, but then you've got it in you because you are a human being. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that I can describe scientifically. It's my life experience, and it's what I see in people who are doing these journeys through sophrology, yeah, but also through music, through meditation, through connection with nature, through, you know, not everything we can measure matters, and not everything that matters is measurable. You know, like I think it's Einstein that said that, and I truly believe that. Yeah,
that's beautifully said. And I have to say that, you know, personally, I came from a small town in Ireland where a lot of these kind of practices would be kind of frowned upon or questioned. And so for me, initially, I was quite reluctant, but I started to see some really big results. So, you know, pushing through some life challenges, like we had a major earthquake here in New Zealand, then going through separation, all of these different things, breath work and meditation allowed me to traverse it in a way that I'm much more proud of, that I can reflect upon and observe and go, wow, I still went through it. I still felt all of the feels.
Yes.
However, I was able to not react to everything. I was able to choose to respond. So I'm with you. You know, I'm converted 100%. And one last question for you, Dominique. I would like you to join me and fast forward many, many years into the future, and you're highly aware that it's your very last day here on earth, and a very young person that you love dearly comes into the room and asks you, how can I lead my life on purpose? What would you say to them?
I would say, if you're asking the question, that means you're going to find the answer. You know, like the simple fact you're asking means that your intention is to find it. And I think finding your purpose or leading your life with awareness comes from an initial intention of wanting to start or to find it. And that's key. And sometimes you don't find the answer straight away, but keeping the intention and carry on asking this question will allow the answer to show itself. And I think the other one might be just listen to your heart, listen to the part of you that is a little deconditioned, you know, and because inside there is the truth, and you've got it in you, but sometimes you it's just hidden, or it's not the right time yet, or it's hidden behind fears or behind stress or behind something. So you just have to be patient with yourself and also ask for help. Because I think if I hadn't had all the support of this early on therapist and many other people that have come to my life, through others' eyes that we realize who we are as well. So sometimes it's useful to listen to positive people around you that that are here to empower you, because they reveal who you are by who they are and by what they say to you. And I think that connection with others really can inform you about what is your purpose and why you're here. Yeah.
Such great, meaningful advice. Thank you for sharing that. I know there'll be a lot of listeners that will really value what you've just shared. And I want to just honor the work that you are doing. And I can see, and I know why it's taking off globally. I can see why the media outlets in the UK truly love what you're doing. I've seen your work in so many places now. So please continue your incredibly purposeful journey. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you. Me too, James. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for tuning in today and investing in your own personal leadership. Please hit that subscribe button, and I'd love if you'd leave me a rating and review. I've got some amazing guests lined up for you in the coming weeks. And leaders, it's that time to get out there and lead your life on purpose.